What do you think about God? Now, that can be a dangerous question, and it can be a dangerous answer. Well, I think that God, and sometimes we know people begin a sentence that way and end it as far from the Bible as we might be able to imagine. Maybe a better question is, what do you know about God? And how do you know it? And I think in that regard, we could go around the room and tell us things that we know about God, that He's holy, that He's just, that He's sovereign, that He's omnipotent. And we can know those things, first of all, because God teaches us them in His Word. But then, in God's mercy, we often come to know them in our experience as well. And one of the things that you and I must know about God, we want to consider this evening from the book of Nahum. And that is that the Lord is good. Please open your Bibles with me to Nahum chapter 1. The Pew Bibles, it's page 1078. And though we'll look at a little bit more of chapter 1, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open, I'm going to read just verse 7 as we begin. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. This is God's word. Hear it. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. Please join me in prayer. Lord, as we come to Your Word, would You teach us more of what it means to know You as You have revealed Yourself to us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in Him. In this obscure book, the clean pages, sometimes people say, of our Bibles, the minor prophet Nahum. This is the second prophecy directed to Nineveh. You'll remember the first, that was Jonah, the reluctant prophet, and yet brought a message of God's judgment and the experience to the people because of their repentance of God's grace. But grace has ended in Nahum's prophecy. Judgment is coming to Nineveh. And it comes in 612 BC as Babylon besieges and destroys Jerusalem. And this judgment, though fierce, comes as a comfort to God's people in Judah as their cruel enemy is judged. And as the prophet, by the inspiration of God's Spirit, pronounces this judgment, he gives us these words that we read. The Lord is good. The Lord is good indeed, we might say. And of course, the word good, both in the Hebrew language and in our English language, conveys a variety of senses of the word. There's that moral goodness that the Lord is. He is holy. He is perfect in all of His aspects. He is without sin. He is entirely just. But there's also a sense in the word goodness of pleasantness, of something that is delightful. Now, Popeye notwithstanding, spinach is not pleasant. Some of you may disagree with me, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion, but it's not pleasant. It may have some good benefits in it, but it's not enjoyable to eat. You know, some people toward certain foods, they say, I don't like that. And maybe you follow up with the question, well, have you tried it? And I've probably guilty of this more than once, I say, no, I haven't tried it, but I know I don't like it. You know, many people are that way toward God. The Lord is good. No, I don't really like the Lord. Well, have you tried Him, so to speak? No, I haven't tried Him, but I know I don't like Him. But none should be that way toward God, because He is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. As we sang in Psalm 100, the psalmist proclaims the goodness of God, and that leads to praise. It leads to a joyful enjoyment of God. Our shorter catechism, the answer to the first question, man's primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him. We enjoy God because He's good. If we're His, the Lord is good. And there's no one else who is good. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who does good but God. Jesus Himself, you'll know, was identified in a question was brought, and the question came to Him in this format, "Good teacher." And He said, "Why do you call Me good? No one is good but God." He wasn't denying that He was good. He was really making a claim to His deity. There's a sense in which he may have said, "You ask Me that question in the right way. But realize who I am before you ask it. The Lord God is good. But not all experience His goodness all the time." Again, I hope you have your Bibles. Look at verses 6 through 8. This judgment against Nineveh, and God says through the prophet, "Who can stand before His indignation? And who can endure the fury of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. But with an overflowing flood, He will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue His enemies." The contrast there is jarring. Judgment, wrath, just anger from God to this generation, and yet in the middle of that, the Lord is good. All people experience some of the goodness of God. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. In Him we live and move and have our being. Every breath that we take is a gift of God, whether we acknowledge that or not. God is full of grace, but His general kindness to all is not forever. And His particular kindness is not to all. God's grace toward Nineveh in response to their repentance has come to an end. That generation had repented and passed away. And there rose up a generation who did not know the Lord, nor what He had done for Nineveh. I know most of you in this room, either a little bit or a lot, but I don't know all of you, and I don't know all about any of you. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer in your sin, and a believer in the merciful sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as a substitute for the death and judgment that you deserve, then like Nineveh, your judgment is coming. And your judgment will be sure. And the experience that you will have if you face eternity apart from the saving work of Christ will be, who can stand before God's indignation? And you may cry out to the hills and the rocks to cover you, but you will not be able to hide from His wrath that you and I, apart from Christ, deserve. But if you are a Christian, if you have come to know your sin and know Christ in the saving way that's described throughout the whole of Scripture, then you must be certain that the Lord is good. You can be encouraged with verse 7 and not terrified with verse 6 and 8. The Lord is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. It's a picture of a fortress, a strong tower, a place of shelter and safety in times of trouble. We don't want to get caught out in the rain, let alone caught out in serious trouble. When trouble comes, we flee and we hide and we look for a place of safety. A child, when frightened, will usually run to his or her mother or father. Find safety in times of trouble. There's a movie a few years back called Panic Room. Panic Room is a fortified room that's installed in a house. It provides a safe hiding place in the event of a break-in or other threat. I'm not particularly interested in the movie, but I found it interesting to read that after the movie came out, there was an increase in interest in having panic rooms installed in people's houses. Probably power of suggestion, you know, a scary movie and some safety in this panic room, and people said, you know, I want that safety. We want to be safe. We want protection. We want help in times of trouble. And God is far better than a panic room. God is a stronghold, a refuge for His people in times of trouble. And yet there are some, even in Christ, who think if you have the first statement in verse 7, you don't need the second statement. The Lord is good means there won't be trouble. Some proclaim, even in Jesus' name, that if you really know the goodness of God, then you'll have a trouble-free life. That God being good means nothing but good happens to Christians. And that bad things happening must mean you're either not really a Christian or you're a Christian with weak faith. And that is rubbish. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord is good. He's a refuge to His people in times of trouble. Jesus said just before going to the cross to His disciples, "You will have suffering in this world, but take courage." And if it ended there, we'd think, well, that's not much help. But of course, it doesn't end there. He said, "Take courage because I have overcome the world." God's people will have trouble. You have had, will have trouble, but in your trouble, in the trouble that God's people have, God is there. God is a stronghold. God is a refuge. God is a place of safety. God permits. God even causes bad things to happen to His people, but God causes them to work for good. It's because of that that Katie Long Walker could write recently about a fly that God sent as a mercy to annoy the pride out of her. It's because of that that Dan Webb could write this morning that losing Joanne was and is the hardest thing I've ever gone through. The pain is deep and I'm sure will never go away, but this has drawn me closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's why Nancy's brother Robert could say a year and a half ago as they buried Emily, their 25-year-old daughter, he could say, "The Lord is good all the time, all the time, the Lord is good. It's why each of you could say something about your experience. You see, it's first that we come to know the truth about God through His Word, through His divine revelation. But it's then that our experience comes to align with God's revealed Word. And we can say, yes, I don't just know that theoretically, though theoretically, the theoretical knowledge of God from His revealed Word is enough. But many, if not all of us, can say, I have come to experience the goodness of God, the safety of God in times of trouble. You can tell that story because God has shown His goodness to you. And of course, it's why our Savior could sweat blood and cry to His Father, take this cup from me if it is your will, if it is possible. And then could say, not my will, but yours be done. It's why He could cry out on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken me? And yet breathe His last, saying, into Your hands I commend my spirit. You will have trouble, but God is a refuge for His people in times of trouble. But who's the you? You'll all have trouble, but who can know the goodness of God, the safe place that God is in times of trouble? Is that a universal experience? We know it's not. We've read the verses on both sides of this declaration of the goodness of the Lord, and they include judgment and wrath on those whom God justly pours that out. But verse 7 goes on to tell us who the you is or are. It's those who trust in Him. He knows those who trust in Him. There is from God to His people an intimate knowledge. There is what we call, what the Scripture calls, a foreknowledge. God determining ahead of time to know His people. And that knowledge of God to you, if you are those He has given you the grace to trust in Him, that knowledge is not motivated by you in any way, but is motivated purely by His grace. Jesus, several hundred years after Nahum declares the Lord is good, will say, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And yet He will also say, those who are not His, depart from me. I never knew you. The God who knows everything, who knows our words before we speak them, who knows our thoughts before we think them, who knows what our day will be before we get out of bed in the morning, will say in a word of judgment, I have never poured out the intimacy of my knowledge upon you. Depart from me, you cursed. But at the same time, He knows those who trust in Him. I suspect one or two of you, I know one or two of you in this room are on Facebook. And maybe you've had the experience, someone sends you a friend request. And maybe you've had the experience that you've had to message them back and say, do I know you? For those of us who are older, maybe it's we see someone and there's a familiarity, we think. We certainly can't place where the connection is, and so we have to say, do I know you? One of the great things about getting older is you're always making new friends. Do I know you? God knows. those who are His, those who trust in Him. God knows me, and He loves me, even though what He knows about me is not so good. God knows those who trust in Him. That knowledge implies a safety, a caring. It really restates what the prophet has just said, that place of safety in time of trouble. The idea of God's knowledge, it's not just information to God. You've heard the expression, to know you is to love you. And a greeting card expressed, I think, important truth in that regard. And the inside of that greeting card was, to know on the outside, to know you is to love you, and on the inside, I know you very much. In other words, I love you very much because I know you. And God loves those who trust in Him. He cares for those who trust in Him. The NIV actually translates that he knows them, He cares for those who trust in Him. And it's not precisely accurate. It's a bit of an overstatement from the precision of God's Word, and yet it's a biblical truth. This knowledge of God to you doesn't just imply, but promises His care. Even in those times of darkness, where the knowing of God and the care of God seem distant, even in those times, God knows us. That's one of the reasons that we first have to know God as He's revealed Himself in His Word. If you've not had the experience of deep darkness and the knowledge that the Lord is good to you during that deep darkness, get Nahum 1:7 fixed in your soul now. Because that deep darkness will come. And if you can go into that with the certainty of the revelation of God as His true witness to you, His people, then you will find much more sustaining grace in your experience of His goodness in that darkness. He knows those who trust in Him. And so that demands the question, do you trust in Him? Are you able and willing, and have you experienced, and are you continuing to experience the giving up of yourself to the care of the eternal God? The trusting the work that Jesus did to satisfy His holiness instead of trying to do it on your own. But then in response to His saving grace, living out the works of righteousness that He's given you to do. Do you trust in Him? You should. No, you must. Otherwise, any goodness that you receive from God will just add to your guilt on the day of judgment. He will add to your account increasing judgment because His kindness toward you that was to lead you to repentance instead took for granted, or you ignored, or you rebelled against. You, I, must trust in Him. And having trusted, seek your refuge in Him. Know that you need His care and His forgiveness and His love and His knowledge. Trust Him and find protection in your times of trouble. Know this Lord and be known by Him, because the Lord is good. Join me as I lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, this congregation has recently, in your sovereignty, faced days of trouble. And I know that many of them could give testimony after testimony of the goodness of you, Lord, in their lives in these times of trouble. Might you, if any are wavering, cement this truth of your word in their soul. And might you, if any have not yet come to trust you savingly through Jesus Christ, might you even today convince them that today is the day of salvation. And Lord, I don't pray that you would give these your precious saints trouble. But I do pray that when trouble comes, they would find a sure anchor in their Lord who is good, that they would be able to say in the face of deep trouble, the Lord is good all the time. All the time, the Lord is good. We submit to you, we praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.